My name is Hosea. My profession is prophet of the Lord Jehovah. My prophetic ministry took place in the northern kingdom of Israel between 750 and 725 BC. I have been summoned here by some of your contemporaries who are part of the apostolic tradition to share with you brief excerpts from my biography. I was making my way back home from one of my many crusades when, as I descended the heights of Mount Tabor, suddenly I was apprehended by a strange and invisible presence. This invisible presence was so mysterious that I was at once both terrified and fascinated. Although rare, this experience was not new to me. Having been there before, I knew that I was in the presence of the one who is eternal. His voice came to me riding the bosom of the wind. It enveloped me like a whirlwind. And I heard him say to me, "Hosea, I must speak to you concerning the infidelity of my people. You remember our contractual agreement that Israel would be my people and that I would be her God. But now, Hosea, because of her apostasy, idolatry, and immorality, her goodness is as the morning dew. It had faded away. She has fractured our friendship. She has ruptured our relationship. She has allowed strange gods to encroach upon my domain." As I stood there that day at the foot of Tabor, I didn't say much. What does one say when God is speaking? He allowed me to slip into a kind of altered state of consciousness. I was there, and yet I was not there. Whether in the body or out of the body, God knows. But he carried me on a historical voyage and allowed me to see time after time where Israel had vacillated in her faith, crumbled in her commitment, and lost her loyalty. Listening to him, his voice was the voice of one who had experienced excruciating pain, pain only known to those who have had their love rejected. As I listened to the tone of his testimony, I knew God was about to say to me, "Hosea, I'm going to annihilate Israel. I'm going to annihilate Judah. In fact, I'm going to wipe her from the memory of human history." I prepared to hear the worst. But to my utter amazement, do you know what God said to me? He said, "Hosea, I will save Judah, not by bow nor by sword, not by battle nor by horseman, but I will save her by the power of my love." I I said to God, well, I'm sure that the people of Judah and Israel would be delighted to hear that. It sounds good to me, but God, what have I to do with all of this? He said to me, Hosea, I want you to get married. I want you to be my living allegory. I want you to be my days man, my go-between. I want you to be my liaisons between God and man. But Hosea, I tuned in to several of your last crusades. And as I listened to you, it was obvious to me that you're not quite ready. You were knowledgeable in theology. You were eloquent in speech. You were mighty in scripture. But there was something missing. As I listened to you, Hosea, you have not yet fully comprehended my cosmopolitan concept of salvation. You're still yet too parochial in your perspective. You are hemmed in by habits and cribbed by custom, trapped by tradition and jailed by your Jewishness. Hosea, in order to get you ready, I'm going to send you through the crucible of domestic difficulty. Married, I said, that's not so bad. It's not so bad, especially when you have an omnicompetent God personally selecting the bride. It's not so bad. And I said, God, you know, it's interesting that you would bring that subject up. Just the other day, I was having a conversation with myself, and I said, Prophet, it's time for you to take on a wife. And God, I know you've been watching, but there is this young lady that I have been watching, and I know you know who she is, and she comes from an Orthodox Jewish background. She's a prophet's child. Oh, she'll make a great prophet's wife. She comes to all of my crusades. She helps me to pass out 10 commandment tracts. She'll make a great prophet's wife. The Lord said to me, Hosea, I know the young lady you speak of, and you're right. She will make somebody a great wife. But Hosea, she's not the one that I have in mind. The girl that I have in mind for you, Hosea, she's not out of a prophet's family. She's not Orthodox in her belief. In fact, Hosea, the girl I want you to marry is a pagan prostitute. Do I have to tell you how I felt? I'm not able to describe the internal impulses that were conflicting underneath my skin. Prophet, marrying a prostitute? I said to him, no. No. I'd rather die with dignity than to live in disgrace. No. I will not dishonor my heritage. I will not disgrace my religion. I will not commit this infamous act against the people of Judah. I will not embarrass the prophetic fraternity. No! I'd rather die. So I got ready to die. I knew the danger of talking to God like that. He holds my breath. So I stood erect at the foot of Mount Tabor, got ready to die. I closed my eyes. I didn't want to see death coming. Come on, death. Get it over with. At any moment, I expected to have been run over by death and allowed death to dismantle the properties of my body. But after several hours of standing there, nothing had happened. I opened one eye to see if I could see death riding on its pale horse. When I didn't see death anywhere, I tried to slip away. And before I could take my first step, he said, "The girl's name." Is Gomer. I said, "Gomer. Lord, who wants to marry anybody with a name like Gomer?" He said, "I want you to marry her." I said, "God, you think you could just give me some reasons? You think you could just talk to me about why? I mean, what is the prophetic fraternity going to say? They're going to turn me out, take away my license. What are the people of Judah going to say? Give me some reasons. God, didn't you say that everything we do, we're to do to your glory? What glory will you get? What is the glory that will come out of a prophet marrying a prostitute? What is the glory that will come out of piety connecting with promiscuity? What is the glory that comes from a confluence between the devilish and the divine? What is the glory when the celestial touches the terrestrial? What is the glory when the sacred has an intercourse with the secular? What is the glory?" And it was right there that God taught me an invaluable lesson. He said to me, "Hosea, I will not submit divine wisdom to the short-sighted scrutiny of human understanding. You're too myopic to understand what I'm doing anyway. Hosea, when I first called you to be a prophet," he said to me, "we made a pact that I would be the senior partner. And as the senior partner, I reserve the right to make some decisions without your approval." He said to me, "You make your decision, and then we'll talk." You see, Hosea, I don't want you to follow me out of anything else but your faith and confidence in me. I say follow me, and you follow me not based on how much sense I make, not based on how practical I am. I want you to understand, and I want you to trust my heart when you cannot trace my hand. Make up your mind, and then we'll talk. I said, "All right, God." I'll marry her. Where is she? He says, she's up at the temple. As I made my way toward that temple and discovered that I was walking in the path of obedience, it was only then that God began to shed light on my understanding. He walked with me and he said to me, Hosea, now that you've made up your mind to obey me, let me share with you a little bit about what this is about. I want to use this improbable relationship of a prophet and a prostitute to dramatize to depraved, fallen humanity that God loves the unlovely. I want to use you and Gomer to demonstrate to all of the Gomers of history, the male and the female Gomers, who have prostituted themselves, that no man can fall so low that he falls outside of the hand reach of God. I want to tell them, you may break God's heart, but you can never break his love. His love is relentless, will even follow you to the hog pen because he loves you. Now, some of you, you've been pretty hard and critical of my wife, Sister Gomer. But let me tell you something. That girl tried. I was there. She tried, I tell you. She really tried. I mean, she came home one day after we had been married for just a couple months, and she said, look here, honey, look what I have. She had some new dresses with longer hems. The girl tried. She said, look here, I have a new rouge and lipstick. She tried, I tell you. She got a new hairdo. She said, when I go down to the village well, I don't go with my old girlfriends anymore. I'm trying to get some new friends. She tried. The girl, she did try. But she was caught between an awful pull and a terrible push. She was caught by that pull, the wiles of her old life, her pre-prophetic life. I assumed that I was a part of that problem because that day I went up to the temple to meet her. I called her out. I didn't go in. I sent somebody in. They brought her out. I said, listen, girl, God told me to marry you, but you're going to have to change your ways. And you need to make a solemn commitment to me only. I helped her to make a commitment to me, but I never helped her to make a commitment to him. And when times got hard, her commitment to me was not strong enough. She was caught by a terrible, terrible pull back to her ways. But not only was she caught in that pull, that was a push. You know, some of those people in those synagogues remind those of us who are part of the great cloud of witnesses. They remind us of some of you who are in the church today. So hypocritical, so critical, so self-righteous. Some of those people, they were like that. They would never let my wife forget what she used to be. She said, every time she walked down the road, some of those old synagogue folk, they would say, there goes that old. You know what they called her. She came home one day in tears. She said, Hosea, if that's what your God and your religion is like, I don't want it. I need somebody who will forgive me for what I've done and embrace me to have a better future than I've had in the past. what those of you in here tonight need to remember, although some of you make fun of my wife, you need to remember something, and that is Gomer is kinfolk. Not only is she related to me, she's related to you, because the blood that ran through Gomer's veins was the blood of Adam, and the blood of Adam is the blood of all men. Your Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. Your Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Maybe your sin was not the sin of my wife, but your sin stinks in the nostrils of God. Kinfolk. We're all a part of the unlovely crowd. I remember when it started happening. Whenever you drift away from God, it never happens all at once. It's bit by bit, little by little. In your day to day, you would say, it's not a blowout, it's a slow leak. The first time it happened, she stayed out all night. The next time it happened, she stayed gone 3 days. The next time she stayed away a whole week. The next time she left, she just didn't come back home. And she was gone almost a year when I finally decided to go back up to Mount Tabor. I needed to have a talk with God. When I got there, God was waiting on me. I wanted to get mine in first. I wanted to tell him, I told you she was going to do this. God said, hush, Hosea, sit down. Where is Gomer? I said, I don't know you, God. You ought to know where she is. You tell me where she is. He said, Hosea, how do you feel about her? How do I feel about who? How do you feel about Gomer, the one who embarrassed me in front of the fraternity? Yes, how do you feel about her? The one that I'm being teased about all over the nation? Yes, how do you feel about her? How do I feel about her? Yes, how do you feel about her? Is anybody here other than you and myself? No, we're alone. I still love her. You still love her even though she has done what she has done to you. I still love her. He said, come here. You ready now to represent me? If you can love Gomer in spite of what she's done, go tell Israel. Tell Israel. But although she's played the harlot, tell Israel, my people, although she has whored after false gods, tell Israel that God said he doesn't want a divorce. He wants reconciliation. Yes. Tell Israel. Yes. Tell her I still love her. You should have seen me getting off of that mountain. Running and falling, sliding and running and falling, sliding, sliding and falling. And then I hit rock bottom. Just as I got ready to take off, he said, one more thing. I said, what now, Lord? He said, I need to remind you that not only am I concerned about the Gomers of this world, but I'm also concerned about the Hoseas of this world. You concerned about me? I'm the victim here. Did you forget? He said to me, just like I have to forgive Gomer, I also have to forgive you. Because I have to teach you, those of you who have been forgiven, I must teach you how to forgive. You see, in my day, we Jews, we believe eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I had a strange love-hate relationship for the girl. I loved her, but I hated her. I hated her with perfect hatred from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. I wanted to love her and embrace her, but at the same time, I wanted to get even. God said, Hosea, when I called you to be a prophet, I forgave you. Now I want you to forgive Gomer. Some of you, you fall into that category. You say you love God whom you've never seen, but you hate your brother that you see every day. God says, that's a lie. You're living a lie. You're pretending. You're perpetrating. He said, go on, tell the story. I went everywhere I could telling the story. Okay, all right. They're calling me. My furlough is almost over. I'll be there in a minute, but let me finish my story. Years had passed. I had not seen or heard from Gomer in years. I had raised the children all by myself. But one day I was out behind the house, and I was out there pulling corn. And I saw the silhouette of a man in the distance. And there he was, standing up close to where I live. And he was waving at me, Hosea, Hosea. Put a knot in my sack, threw it over my shoulder, and began to elbow my way through the stalks. When I got up close to him, he said, I don't know what you plan to do with the information, but I thought you needed to know. I just left the marketplace, and I think I saw your wife. The years of sin has stripped her of her beauty. She didn't look like she used to look, but I got closer, and I could see the resemblance in her face. I'm pretty sure that your wife is on the auction block in the marketplace. I went into my tent, got on my knees to talk to God. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I thought you said you love her. I said, I do. He said, well, you can't stop now. Let's go all the way. I got up and put on my prophetic regalia. Began to make my way through the streets of Judah. And as I walked, that man not only told me, he told everybody in the community. But they were standing at every crossroad waiting to see what I would do. And as I passed by them, they were whispering to one another, there goes Hosea. He's on his way to shake his vindictive finger in the face of his unfaithful wife. But they didn't know what was in my heart. They passed another group and they said, there goes Hosea. He's on his way to have the last laugh. But they didn't know what was in my heart. Finally, I reached the marketplace. When I turned the corner, I saw them, the men and the women, standing on the auction block. There I saw my beloved wife standing there without any clothes. They had stripped her of her dignity, of everything that gives us worth and value. And as I got closer to the crowd, I heard the voice of the auctioneer saying, we have a woman here. Her name is Gomer. Anybody here willing to pay the price? And as I got closer, I had to suffer the indignity of hearing other men bid for my wife. One man said 5 shekels. Another said 7. I got in the bidding war. I said 9. Another said 10. Another said 11 and 12. I looked to see what all I had. I said 15 shekels of barley and a half. The auctioneer said, sold to the highest bidder. I went up and pulled her down off the steps. As she had no clothes, I took off my prophetic garment and I wrapped her up in it. And as we left the marketplace, she fell prostrate on her face. And she cried out, Hosea, thank you. Thank you for buying me back. Thank you for paying the price for me. Thank you. I know I have done you wrong. I don't deserve it. I'll be your slave the rest of my life. But I got down with her and I said, I don't need a slave. What I need is a wife. My children don't need a slave. What they need is a mother. We went home. And I tell you tonight, we had a good life because of what God put in my heart. I must close, but before I do, all of that was preliminary to the message. And here is the message. If you think my story was something, my story was just to get you ready to hear about another story. My story was the forerunner to the story that God tells about how much he loves you and people like you. So much so that when man sinned, God called a summit meeting, and they talked about what to do since man had fallen. Justice spoke up and said, let the wages of sin be death. Jesus said, yes, let the wages of sin be death, but let the gift of God be eternal life. And I'll be that gift. Justice, go down to Calvary and wait for me. Justice went down and sat down on Calvary. Jesus took the long way around. He came down through 42 generations. And as he passed, Job said, I see him. He looks like a horse pouring in a valley. Passed on, Ezekiel said, I see him. He looked like a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Amos said, I see him. He looks like a plumb line. Daniel said, I see him. He looks like a rock hewn out of a mountain. And just as Justice stood up to slay man. Somebody said, hold on, Justice. There he is with a cross on his shoulder. Coming up, Calvary. And when he got up there, he gave his hands to the nails. He gave his rivet, gave his feet to the rivet. Gave his side to the spear, gave his brow to the thorns, gave his back to the splinters, gave his mother to John, and gave his spirit to his father. Said, it is finished. Dropped his head in the locks of his shoulder. Gave up the ghost. But that was not the end of the story. They laid him in a borrowed tomb Sunday morning. God moved to make the last move, raise him from the dead. And Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It's in my hand. What are you doing with that power, Jesus? I'm putting it behind my church to go tell a lost world of Gomers, I still love them and I want them back. That's my story. That points you to the love of Jesus. I've got to go.